It's been said time and time again, happiness is driven by purpose, not pleasure.
I got to show you this. So Mark Manson put this quote up a few months ago, and I've not been able to stop thinking about it. The most important question to ask is, what pain do you want in your life? What are you willing to struggle for? Anything worthwhile is going to require some degree of pain and struggle. So, if you're oriented toward the pain and the struggle, you're probably going to be more aligned with what you're capable of accomplishing rather than if you just orient toward the pleasures. So good, because we say, find the thing which you enjoy the most, but really what you're finding is, what is the pain you're prepared to swallow the most? Nothing worthwhile is going to come without discomfort. You know, even for me and you, love doing the show, love speaking to all these interesting people, get to fly around the world. But I would be lying if I said I love writing show notes or doing research in Guatemala airport at 3 a.m. because I'm on a delayed flight and I've got a flight. I've got an episode tomorrow. Like, it's grind. It's grind that I care about, and it's grind that I can do that other people couldn't do. But it's not grind, right?
This goes to the discipline equation.
Yes.
You might be...
I'm familiar with. Let's hit it. Hit it.
Because that really embodies it. That Mark Manson quote about the pain you're willing to encounter. I was trying to figure out why there's some areas in my life where I'm disciplined and other areas of my life where I seem to lack discipline. Kind of what I was saying earlier about being a dualistic type of individual. And I came up with this discipline equation that I'd love to interrogate with you, because I've not thrown it at enough people to know that if it's true or not. So discipline equals the importance of the goal plus, let's just say, the importance of the goal to you. So the subjective importance of the goal, how much does that goal matter to you? Plus the psychological enjoyment you get in the pursuit of the goal, right? So as you pursue the goal, how psychologically enjoyable and reinforcing and, you know, is that for you? Minus the psychological cost of the pursuit of the goal. So I'll run you through some examples. Simon Sinek said to me, well, Steve, I take the bins out at 7 a.m. in the morning yesterday. I didn't want to do that, but I did it. So I go, okay, let's run that through the framework. What would happen if you didn't take the bins out? That sort of underpins and defines the importance of that goal. Well, he'd get a fine and then he'd have an overflowing bin out the front of his house. So the why is high. The psychological enjoyment of pursuing taking the bins out is very low, right? And the friction of getting out of bed at 7 a.m. is high. But thankfully, the why is so strong that regardless of the fact that the enjoyment of the pursuit is low and the friction is high, the behavior still occurs. Going to the gym, learning to DJ, in all areas of my life, I can run it through that equation and go, okay, so in the pandemic, the reason I've been going to the gym for 3 years straight now is because my why surged. The perception of the importance of that goal surged. I saw how our existing health correlates to our health outcomes. And I realized for the first time in my life, this clear thought that I couldn't unshake, that my health is my first foundation. It is this table that everything I love and care about sits upon. So that has to be my number one priority reflected in my schedule. So that changed, that went up. The psychological pursuit of going to the gym is kind of enjoyable. There's a bit of a dopamine release there and it's fun to do that. Feels good for my self-esteem. And the friction associated with it is low, unless I go to a gym where people know me and I spend the whole time talking. Then what happens if I'm put in that situation is I don't go to the gym. The discipline equation changes. So part of the reason I made a big investment in a company called Until is because I can have somewhere I can work out and focus on the workout. Genuinely, that's one of the things that actually changed my relationship with the gym and nearly threw me off the habit.
Yep.
Was that psychological cost. So how does that sit with you?
It does. You've got the discipline equation, death, time, and discipline.
Yeah.
What's the death part?
So like when I started writing that particular chapter in my book, to understand discipline, you have to understand the scarcity of time because, you know, so I started because I was going to write a chapter about time management. People want to know how to manage their time. And as I went through the hundreds of available time management techniques, I realized the Pomodoro technique, the time blocking, all this 1, 2, 3, 4, the ABC. The reason why there's so many time management techniques is because none of them work unless you have this underlying thing called discipline. It's the same in the fad diet industry. That industry will always churn out new things because there's an underlying issue, which is discipline. So it's kind of a mirage industry. So the chapter pivoted and started focusing on discipline. Well, the next thing was time. Why is time important? Ran the numbers. How old are you now?
35.
Okay. So you have, if you reach the average age of an American, you have just over 17,000 days left to live. And I think all of that goes to show that time is the currency we're playing with in every moment of our lives. It's the center point of our influence. I talk about the roulette table of my life. It's the frame I think through where we wake up in the morning with these 24 chips. If you spend 8 hours sleeping, you wake up with 16 chips left. And how you place those chips on this roulette table that sits in front of us just before the wheel spins every day determines all of our outcomes in our lives. So I've chosen now to allocate two chips to this little piece here called fitness. The roulette table spins and I get my returns. As I went down that chapter, I realized that in the context of time and death, and time management, the most important question to answer, the fundamental, is discipline. How can I allocate more of these chips to the things that are in line with my values? Where does this thing called discipline come from? If it underpins everything we do, It even underpins what you just said there with Fred again and that Mark Manson quote. The reason why Fred again is doing that is because his discipline equation is in line. If for whatever reason you just tipped any part of that equation, you could knock him off that discipline.
Yeah.
With Jimmy Carr and with all these people that go do that decade of dedication to become masters in their craft, if you look to their discipline equation, you'll see moments where the friction came up and they fell off, or they got writer's block, or whatever it might be called in their context. And then, so you can influence your discipline if you understand that equation. When my DJ equipment was on the floor of my spare room, I did not DJ.
Never going to use it.
The minute I put it on my kitchen counter and had it one button away from being able to practice at any given moment, I put it right in front of me.
Same thing for any creator. If you're starting to do a YouTube channel, and this is a life hack here. Do you remember, you might have had this in your house when you were younger, radio infrared socket turner-oners. It's like a single remote. It's like $10 on Amazon. And you leave the wall socket on at all times and you run it through one of these additional sockets and then you plug your shit into that thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like $10, right, on Amazon. My entire studio at home is run through one of these. So I go in and I just press 1, 2, 3, 4 and... everything comes on because when I was first starting out, it was super effortful for me to set up the camera and I'm going to do the thing and I'm already trying to learn to do YouTube and it's terrifying and I'm looking into this black lens and it stares back at me.
Friction.
Precisely. Same as you. Friction. DJ kit can't be on the floor. If you want me to practice as much as possible, get it in the way. Put it in the way of things, right? It's almost harder for me to DJ than it is for me to avoid it.
It was on my kitchen counter. So I would sometimes be going into the kitchen to eat something and just, press the button and just, I'm off. 4 hours later, I've just done a 4-hour DJ practice.
Yeah.
If you think about, give me something in your life you're disciplined at and we'll run it through the equation. Something you've shown great discipline at.
Recording the podcast.
Does it really matter to you?
Yes.
Is there psychological enjoyment from the pursuit?
Yes.
Is the friction high? What's the level of friction?
4 out of 10.
4 out of 10. But if we added up the first part of the equation, how much does it matter to you out of 10?
10.
And how much, what's the psychological enjoyment of the pursuit?
9.
So I'd say we're about 19 takeaway 4. And because it's positive, the behavior will occur. You can do that as a -4, right? The behavior will occur. Mm-hmm. If at any point the friction gets really high, and for whatever reason, if the pursuit of it or the why behind your, you know, the subjective meaning behind it falls, the behavior will not occur.
I've heard you do this with your meditation practice.
Yeah.
Which is why you're not meditating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
My why isn't strong enough. Yep. I haven't quite had the evidence.
The intrinsic
to know,
enjoyment of it as well.
Sometimes we need a little bit more pain, right?
It's a robust in way to frame it. I guess if Alex was sat here, he would say, we might say, a lot of people are driven by pain rather than pleasure, right?
100%.
And
that's the why part.
The chip on your shoulder accounts for so much. It can account for so much, right? You know, somebody who had a really bad period of mental health, they suffered with anxiety attacks and it lost them something or somebody scorned them and they go, oh, okay. And then they decide to commit themselves to mental health and improving the texture of their own mind. That's coming from a place of wanting to prove other people wrong.
Well, whether someone is driven or dragged, is impossible to tell on the surface. And I've sat in my podcast over and over again and asked people, are you driven or are you being dragged by something? And when I say dragged, I mean some kid on the playground at 7 years old told you you're a scumbag and you'll never be anything and you're poor. And then that's dragged you, that insecurity and that shame has dragged you to entrepreneurship and to becoming a millionaire. Driven is what, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk describes to me, where he says his mother loved him so much and she encouraged him so much that he had that drive to kind of like prove her right. Whatever force it is, it comes down to why, which is the start of the equation.
Yep.
And even in my case, tons of shame as a kid, the only black kid in an all-white area pretty much, the poorest family in our street, definitely, dilapidated house in the context of a wonderful area, deep shame and insecurity about not being enough drove me like I was an obsessed, hungry dog for, it's still doing it now.
And this wraps up today's episode. Thanks for listening. If you felt moved by today's episode, feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or subscribe for future episodes. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.